columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
So if you don't have to think about it, it is right here. It is right now.
What happened here?
Something wasn't right back there. I don't know what you did, but it wasn't smooth sailing. It was like a Stokely hiccup. You know, with the KKAFN. Something happened. What happened there?
Well, Steven is not here, so our guy Taylor is helping us out.
Don't blame Taylor. I mean, don't come in the first day just, you know, blaming Taylor.
No. You asked me what happened, I'll tell you what happened.
Okay.
We gotta roll over our guy Taylor in the first minute of the show. So my mic's on, but there's another dimension behind the glass. I'm guessing this will happen. I wasn't in program. Is that right? So I wasn't in program. So my mic is saying it's hot, but I'm not broadcasting. So yeah, they switched it on Taylor. So now he's blaming somebody else. So it's
perfect. Just keep rolling downhill. I'm blaming you. It's you. You're the one that's talking. I mean, you got to get it figured out. It's Monday. We're trying to start the week off on the right foot here and get it rocking and rolling. And
it's a
you
bad
came
omen.
In.
It's a bad omen.
Yeah, and you tripped over your feet. You know? That's all right.
Pull the decker.
We'll persevere. We're still going to have a great day and a great week. How's your Monday starting?
Oh, it's pretty good, man. Pretty good. Ready to rock and roll. Got a great show planned. Had a great weekend up there in the mountains. And just a great, great relaxing time. And back rejuvenated and ready to roll for a short week here leading up to
short week.
Yeah, we got
really.
Yeah, we're off later this week.
I just go day by day usually. I don't try to look too far in advance. And
well, that's what happens when you don't check your email. You do that too. You can just live day by day.
too much sometimes is just overload, and sometimes it's better to just ignore those things and just go day by day. And, what's tomorrow? Okay, I'll figure it out.
I forget how you put it last week, because something was going on, and we were all kind of on the same page, and you're like, you know, what is all this stuff about? We're like, in the email.
Like, I think it was a meeting. It was probably like one of the meetings we had or something.
And you're like, I don't check that fancy stuff.
Yeah, man, I'm just telling you. Sometimes it's a little bit too much. You know, hey, I show up and do my work from 12 to 3 and ready to rock and roll. All that other stuff sometimes just gets in the way.
Details.
Yeah, just gets in the way of just living life and playing golf and just doing other things. So,
I like it.
I mean.
That's what you have me for.
That's what I have you for. That's right. So that's good news, though. That's good news if we get a day off or something here coming up down the stretch here at the end of the week. I like that.
Yep.
I mean, that just made my day.
I love it. So we have a great show planned, have a great week planned. There's a couple of things that we're going to tackle over the next handful of days that's going to be a blast, I hope. But how about the story, you know, from yesterday afternoon? The Patriots signing Cam Newton. Former MVP, the Patriots are the first team in NFL history to lose an MVP quarterback and replace him with another MVP quarterback in the same offseason. How about that?
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. I think it's the best move for the Patriots and the best move for Cam Newton. So I think it's a win-win here. They didn't spend a ton of money. They obviously have a need there.
Do we know what his base salary is before the incentives?
It's not. I haven't seen it. I know it's up to $7.5 million if he hits all the incentives.
Yeah, I saw
right?
that.
But I didn't
that.
See what the base salary was. Might be just minimum. I'm not sure. I didn't see that. But they're not spending a lot of money on him. And I guess if he just doesn't work out, they'll be able to just wash their hands and move on and go with the king himself, B. Hoyer. It's going to be tough for Cam to overcome that to begin with and beat him out, because clearly the athlete that B. Hoyer is just at a whole nother level.
You love yourself some Brian Hoyer.
That's my guy. I don't know how he became my guy, but he just became my guy a few years ago.
It predates me, but it was that off season. When I was coming in, you know, the noise of Brian Hoyer to the Broncos was dying down from you.
Yes.
And there used to be the Brian Hoyer watch. Do you have that somewhere?
That always made my day. Massive mistake by Brian Hoyer.
Yes, Mike Tirico.
Brian Hoyer watch.
Massive mistake. Oh, my goodness. So, you know, it's going to be tough for Cam to beat out B. Hoyer if they let B. Hoyer have a, you know, if it's a legit competition. We see how competitions have gone. No, just kidding. Look, I think it's a great spot for him. Look, he's been injured the last 2 years. Really last year. The year before, he played 14 games, but he just wasn't himself.
Right.
I mean, he just, you watched him throw the football, and he had shoulder issues. And he had the shoulder fixed, came back last year, had the foot issue. So it's been 2 years of not really good football from Cam Newton. So he needs to find an opportunity to go prove to everybody, hey, I can still play at a high level. I can still stay healthy. And if he does that, now he'll hit the market next year and get paid a lot of money. And he'll get a chance to start for a team. But he's got to prove that he can stay healthy and still play at a high level. It doesn't matter what he did in, you know, 2015. I mean, that's ancient times ago in NFL circles. So he's got to prove he can play at a high level still and make all the throws and stay healthy, because the last couple of years he's been a shell of himself.
Yeah, well said. And I like the reference back to 2015. Look, Cam Newton was a great quarterback. He really was. He was an MVP, Super Bowl caliber guy, one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in NFL history. In fact, he's got the rushing record for quarterbacks. No quarterback in league history has ran for more touchdowns than Cam. So, you know, I want to give him his props, but at the same time, that was then, this is now. But there is something, because he himself is not ancient. He's 30 years old, or 31 years old. I know he's taken some hits, so I got that. So there might be a little less tread on the tire, but he just turned 31 this spring, and he's had time to heal. And
yes.
I wonder what he looks like. He's not 39. He's not 42. He just turned 31. He's had time to heal. And you can tell us better than anyone about what type of injury he was going through last year, that Liz Frank foot injury. I would imagine it'd be hard to throw the football when you don't have your feet underneath you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a tough injury to deal with. So certainly, you know, it was good for him to get that fixed and done. But it's a tough injury. It was the toughest surgery that I went through in my career, worse than my Achilles, worse than my ACL, and worse than my shoulder surgery. So
how long did it take, Stoke? Until you were right.
I mean, that took almost a full complete year before my foot stopped having pain. I mean, I'd wake up and not be able to walk the next day, and it'd just be throbbing and hurting so bad. But it was just a tough surgery, you know. For me, running routes is a little bit different than just throwing a football. Now Cam runs the ball a lot, but when you're running routes, you're cutting, you're turning, you're twisting on it. You need your feet, man, and so it was a tough one for me to overcome. And I thought I was going to be done halfway through it when my first year in Indy with that surgery. So it was a tough one to deal with and overcome, and that's kind of what Cam was having to deal with. But I tell you, you made a great point, Zach. I mean, he's had about a whole, you know, year and a half to just get his body healthy now after that surgery and not take a pounding this past year. So it'll be interesting to see what he looks like there in New England now. You know, New England's like the chameleon. They'll adapt their offense. They'll adapt different things. And it's going to be interesting to see how they use him Obviously, they got a really good defense. They had a great defense last year. What will it look like this year? I think it's still going to be a good defense. What will their offense look like? What kind of style of offense will they look like? We've seen them go from a run-heavy offense. We've seen them go to a two-tight-end offense with Hernandez and Gronkowski and use those guys a lot. We've seen them spread it out and have, you know, all those little Zuzus running all over the field. Amendola, all those guys, Edelman and Hogan and Troy Brown, all those guys all over the football field. So we've seen them, you know, air it out. They'll just adapt, right? And I'm expecting them to do the same with Cam Newton with their offense. I don't think they're going to sit there and say, Cam, here, this is how we're going to do it right here. They're going to tailor an offense around him and his strengths. And so that's going to be interesting to see what it looks like and what they try to do and accomplish with Cam Newton.
Well, their roster is win now. Their roster is, you know, a Super Bowl caliber roster. Certainly a Super Bowl caliber defense. I mean, at one point last year, their defense was like trending to be one of the greatest of all time.
Yes.
And I'm not being like a hyperbolic. It was actually one of those years where it's like, wait, is this right? They were so good.
That in the right context, right there, that hyperbolic.
A hyperbolic, yeah. I think
because sometimes you just throw things in there, and I'm like, I don't know if that was used correctly. And you just keep rolling, you know. And then I'll see on the RamosLaw.com text line, like Stokely, you got to call Zach out, man. He doesn't know how to use those words. He totally misused that word. So before I don't really get to see the RamosLaw.com text line. Sometimes I have it up, but sometimes I don't when I'm at home here. But so I said
they were trending to be one of the greatest defenses of all time, and that's not being hyperbolic. Like, and that's like hyperbole, which is exaggerating statements not to be taken literally.
Okay. So Nailed it. See, I like to learn also some of those words that you throw out. You know, I'm just not sure. And then maybe I'll take it, I store it, and then I'll try to use it at some point and be like you.
Well,
good job.
You got a long way to go.
Yes. Hey, I'm just trying to get better.
Hey,
just trying to get better and prove.
Put the brick down, then eventually you got a wall.
That's right.
One word at a time.
Give me that word again. Hyperbolic. Hyperbolic.
The root word, I think, would be hyperbole.
Okay. I've heard of the hyperbole. Yes. Yes.
I just dug it up here while we're talking about the word hyperbolic, and the Patriots gave up 14 points a game last year. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
14 points a game.
But they were getting turnovers left and right. Gilmore, pick sixes, Collins. They were just a turnover machine, and they were scoring so many points early in the season defensively.
Right.
It was just like, wow, this defense is unbelievable.
Yeah, they were special. And Stephon Gilmore, who won the Defensive Player of the Year, if I'm not mistaken, had one of the most special years that a cornerback has had. I want to say, and I don't have it in front of me, but I think it was six interceptions, and three of them were pick sixes. And
I just can't believe that, you know, who had him and didn't re-sign him? I mean, that's just a bonehead move by that organization. Because he didn't get drafted by the Patriots, right?
You are so stupid.
How do you let go of that guy? How do you not re-sign him? Who was that?
That was the Buffalo Bills.
Because he was out of South Carolina.
That's right. They drafted him in the first round.
Right. Who was it?
It was the Buffalo Bills.
The Bills. Come on, man.
You know what I think they said? You know what I think they said?
Come on.
We can let this guy go because we got Tre'Davious White, that Bayou boy. And he was, I think those were the two first-team All-Pros, I think. I think it was Tre'Davious White and Stephon Gilmore, if I'm not mistaken. I actually think that's how it went down.
Well, just while we're going down this road, I was just joking.
The Bills have done that, Stoke. You know who else they did that with? Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, yeah.
They drafted Marshawn Lynch and traded him
to
the Seahawks.
Yep.
And I couldn't tell you what they got in return. I forget. But, yeah, they've done that on a handful of occasions.
But so now that you're looking at, you know, the division now, right? I mean, obviously you grew up around the Buffalo Bills fan.
Sure.
How do you look at the Bills situation now with the Patriots bringing in Cam Newton? It's going to be a lot more difficult for us to win the division now.
Well, that's what Vegas said last night. When this thing went down, the Patriots went from, they went to 1-1 odds to win the AFC East. After Cam was announced to be going to New England, their Super Bowl odds, according to Caesars, went from 25-1 down to 19-1. Odds to win the AFC East were at 1-1. Their win total went from 9 to 9.5. Mm. And don't roll your eyes at that, because a half game, when you talk about a future wager, is massive.
Huge.
And usually only influenced by a quarterback. If Von Miller was done for the season because he ripped up his knee in an off-season workout, knock on wood, it probably wouldn't move a half a game. It probably wouldn't. But here it does. His chance to win MVP, Cams, went from 300 to 1 to 100 to 1. His odds to win comeback player of the year went from 22 to 1 all the way down to 4 to 1.
Wow.
How about that?
You know who's kicking themselves today? People that put a little action on the Patriots not to make the playoffs.
Mm.
Those people are probably kicking themselves today.
Well, I'll say this. Let's spin it to the Broncos. These guys are on the schedule. Week 5, Sunday, October 11th. The Denver Broncos are traveling to Gillette Stadium in the early afternoon game and playing against the Patriots.
Yeah.
How does your vibe change with the understanding it was probably going to be Jared Stidham, and now today it's Cam Newton?
Well, it doesn't change for me. I had them losing that game. So for me personally, I still got it for a loss for the Broncos, and I believe that's what I had them.
You do? I'm looking at it right now.
Okay, yeah, I had them losing that game. Regardless, I mean, you going to New England, Foxborough, early start again, right? That's what you said, Zach?
Yep.
Early start game?
Yep.
Week before, is that the Jets?
The week before is the Jets.
Right, because I remember you were saying, hey, they got two back-to-back road games going to the East Coast early start games. Look, it's going to be tough, regardless of if it was Jared Stidham, B. Hoyer, Cam Newton. That was going to be a tough win for him. And yes, I mean, I think it makes it tougher if it's Cam Newton over those other two guys. But it doesn't change my outcome because I had him losing before. So certainly I think there's an upgrade with Cam Newton at quarterback. I got him losing, you know.
Yeah, you have him losing still. You have him losing back-to-back games there.
How about you?
Week 4 and 5.
Do you have that game at?
Did you
have it as a win or a loss?
I have it as a win.
Okay.
I have it as a win, but I'm looking at there's another factor here that I want to point out that I think we highlighted a couple or a month ago whenever this came out. That typically, if you have a game at the New York Jets and at the New England Patriots the next week, the way that the Broncos do in the first portion of the season, you'd probably just stay, right?
Right.
But that's not how it works out this time around, because the game against the Jets is Thursday Night Football. So you're probably not going to stay through the weekend and then the next week. Probably not.
No.
Do you think I'm safe to say that?
I would say you're safe to say that. And and the other thing is, Zach, with this pandemic, everything going on, you know, what do you want to do? Do you want to try to bubble your team, you know, for that week and keep them out there now? Is it more likely that you stay there and just say, hey, we're going to hunker down here. We're going to hunker down in this hotel, and we're just going to stay here, and we're going to work out here. I don't know if that would be more difficult, be safer, less safe, not sure, than traveling all the way back and having that weekend off or whatever the case may be, and then getting ready for the Patriots the following week. But, yes, I would say under normal circumstances, you're absolutely right. If you play that Thursday game, you're not going to stay for a week and a half. You'll just fly back because you got plenty of time to recover and recoup and get back into a normal routine.
Yeah, be at your own facility, go through the recovery process here in Denver. But, man, I got to tell you, I just don't – and I talked to you about the early portion of the schedule. I don't like it at all for Denver. I don't like it at all because you're starting the season. First of all, you're starting on Monday Night Football, and you're in the second half or in the second portion of the doubleheader. So that game is not going to get started till after 8 o'clock here. That means that game is going to finish over close to Tuesday. I mean, seriously,
yeah.
It's going to be midnight by the time that game is done. It's going to be, 1:30 in the morning back east. So you're starting the season playing the last game on the slate. Then you're taking the tape off your ankles. It's Tuesday morning. Then you got to fly to Pittsburgh on a short week, and it's already going to be a tough place to play. They have a great roster. They have a Hall of Fame quarterback back. You fly to Pittsburgh, and then after that game, you come back home to play Tom Brady and the Bucks, and then you fly to New York on another short week. So, and two of your first four games of the season for the Denver Broncos, you're short on time, and then you fly back to Denver because it's too long of a stay to stay over before the Patriots game, and then you turn around and fly right back east, tracing your steps back to the East Coast to play the New England Patriots on their turf with a terrific win-now roster who just added a former MVP candidate. I just don't like how the schedule sets up for the Broncos. There is multiple factors that are totally outside of their control that's working against them.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it's you'd probably look at most NFL schedules, and you're right, that's not how you would like to, you know, start off your first four or five games. But you look at most NFL schedules, you're going to have a section there where you look at it like, man, that's going to be a tough one right there. You know, we play that late Monday night game on the road, and then we come back home, and, you know, we're playing an early game then, and we got look at those three opponents that we got right back-to-back-to-back all on the road or whatever the case may be. So pretty much every NFL team will have a stretch like that where they look at and say, hey, we got a man up here, right? It is what it is, and, you know, the best way to do it for an NFL player is you just go week by week. And coaches have to come up with different plans. Whether you need to scale things back, and certainly after that first game, you don't want to scale things back. You want to be hitting the ground running. You want to be practicing. You want to be grinding. But for Vic Fangio, after that late game, like you said, against Tennessee, you're not going to be in your bed until 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. And now you have a short week coming up for the game against Pittsburgh, right? Second week of the season,
yep,
Pittsburgh.
Yep.
So you probably have to scale back already. And that's the last thing you want to do. You want to kind of be hitting the ground running at that point, but you're going to have to scale back, make sure guys' legs are fresh because you're going to be traveling. So a coach has to do a good job of putting a plan in place to help guys out and navigate these tough stretches. But as a player, look, it is what it is. There's going to be, no matter where you look at schedules, you're going to have a tough three or four game stretch that's like, ooh, we just got to man up, got to fight through it, got to find a way to get a W, because in the end, it doesn't really matter. It's just, hey, I mean, nobody cares, right? Either win, you lose, you go out there, perform, or you don't perform.
You asked me the addition of Cam, how that changes things for the Broncos, and you're asking me personally. How does that change things week five when the Broncos travel to New England? I will give you my answer on that because I have it as a win right now, but I'm taking a step back. I'll give you my answer on that along with Stoke. I saw something over the weekend that has me more optimistic about the 2020 Denver Broncos, and it involves a guy you're probably not a huge fan of currently.
Oh,
all right. I'll tell you what I saw. And I'm speaking to the Broncos country too, by the way. It's a fan that you probably driving in your car, doing some work around the house right now. You're probably not a fan of this guy, but I saw something over the weekend that made me say, "Huh," made me feel better about the Broncos. And I'll tell you why next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
A lot of reaction on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043, to the conversation we were just having about Cam Newton. And there is plenty more meat still on that bone. We will get back to it, I promise. But first, I saw something over the weekend that has me a little bit more optimistic about the 2020 Broncos. And it involves a guy that Broncos country is probably not high on these days. Stoke, did you see the video of Bryce Callahan working out?
I did.
You did. What did you make?
I did see the video.
Well, if you could just describe to our listeners what was in the short video and what you made of it.
Well, the video was just him working with a personal trainer in a looked like an indoor facility, and he was just doing some footwork drills going back and forth. I think that's the best way to describe it. Doing footwork drills, moving his feet, going back and forth, hitting, exploding. And so all the things that you need to do to play football, cornerback position. You know, you're backpedaling, you're kind of shuffling your feet. Next thing you know, you hit the back, you sprint up. And so he looked healthy to me.
He was putting a whole bunch of pressure on that foot.
Right. And so when you do those types of things, it's like, okay, this guy looks completely healthy with his foot. Now, can he stay healthy? Can he play at a high level? We'll see how all that stuff happens. I mean, how that goes. But obviously, I mean, step one is him just being healthy. And we weren't sure about it. Ed Donatell talked about it and said, you know, he was going to be ready to go. He's fully healthy. And we see the video now. He looks healthy. I think that's obviously, I mean, that's great news for the Denver Broncos. You want another piece there, another competition, some more competition over there. He can play inside. He can play outside. The guy's a good football player if he can stay healthy. So I watched that. And I said, yes, that's great.
Yeah, for the information that we're capable of gathering right now, it's really good news. So now, is that foot going to be able to take being stepped on? You know, because that's what happened last year at that stadium practice. Things were going okay, and he got that foot stepped on. It bent the screw that had been surgically implanted in there the previous offseason, if I'm not mistaken.
That had to be a freak accident.
I would think.
Mean, think about it. I mean, I played football in the NFL 15 years, and I got my foot stepped on one time, and that was when I and turned, and that was when I did my Liz Frank, was when I got my foot stepped on. But other than that, I mean, you don't really get your foot stepped on, and it had to be the perfect spot to bend that screw or whatever. And, I mean, that just had to be bad luck.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. But Bryce Callahan has had not the best luck.
That's
in
right.
terms of his injury history. It's just the way that it's shaped up for him. Since he's been in the National Football League, which was 2015, he's never played 16 games. He's never played more than 13. And that was his season in Chicago when he really, you know, made the NFL aware who he was at 27 years old. Since then, he hasn't played a snap. But the last time that I saw Bryce Callahan try to move around was that practice he came back when he had the sweatpants on and we were watching him warm up and my foot started to hurt watching him. I mean, he was just super ginger and he looked cautious. He looked like he was moving in slow motion.
Yeah, I mean, I said right then, that guy's done. I mean, it was just no chance. I mean, he shouldn't even have been out there. It was like, you know, we're hoping that he's back. I'm like, no chance. You just look at this guy. You can tell he's favoring it. So why even have him out there? You know, as a player and a competitor, you want to get out there and you want to be there for your teammates. And especially a guy in that situation who, you know, you come to a new team, you want to play. You want to show why they brought you here. You want to show the fans. You want to show your teammates. And he just been hurt. So you try to go out there and give it a go. But it was just it was pointless to even be out there at that point at that time because there was just no chance. You could tell he was really favoring it. It just wasn't right. And so they did the best thing for him, shut him down, get that thing fixed. And he's looking good right now with no pads on. He's looking good, and I think that's the first step, and that's a big step for a guy like him.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, I I talked a little bit about this on and off throughout this offseason. I just do not like the Broncos cornerback room if he's not ready to go. I just don't like it. And it's a shame that we're in a position that I feel like he needs to, sorry, we got a little something going on behind the scenes here, but
yeah, I don't know who you're talking to. I thought you're talking to yourself. I'm like, what are you doing there, Zach? I mean,
no, there was an issue. There's an issue with our mics here, for our online listeners, but I think we just got it resolved.
Oh, well, you don't have to let the world know that. You don't need to say okay out loud for everybody to hear. You just keep rolling, Zach. Just keep rolling.
So,
I mean, no need for that.
If Bryce Callahan's not ready to go, the Denver Broncos cornerback room could be one of the thinnest in the National Football League.
Okay, how about this? So now he's going to be ready to practice, okay? He'll be ready to go full speed first day. I mean, that was told to us. We've seen the film or the video footage of him. He'll be ready to go. How do you feel about that room now? Does it make you feel a lot better, a little bit better? Because you and a lot of other people, right? I mean, you look at this team, there's not many positions that you can look at and say, man, I'm really concerned here. Cornerback is one of those. Now, I'm more optimistic about it than most people. But at the same time, where are you at now if Bryce Callahan's able to go?
If he's ready to go, I my optimism for the room, for the cornerback room specifically, doubles. I mean, it's that dramatic. Because I think it's that dramatic if he can't go. So I know I'm saying two things at the same time, but I'm really saying the same thing. Because if he's not ready to go, who can you point to that gives you real optimism? Like, A.J. Boye has not played a down of football in an orange and blue uniform, And we heard out of Jacksonville that he's not a true number one corner in this league. I think he's a good football player. He's not a great football player. He had a great season at one point in 2017, but that was then. This is now. So I can't wrap my arms around that one and say for certain that this guy is going to, you know, they're just not going to throw out A.J. Boye. I don't think that's true. And then after that, who's your number two? If it's not Bryce Callahan, you're talking about a guy who hasn't played a snap of NFL football, more than likely, in Michael Ojemudia, the third-round pick. And he was a zone corner in college. Is he going to have to do something besides that for the first time at the National Football League level? Man, there's probably going to be some bumps in the road. You know, Isaac Yiadom, what am I getting out of that guy? Don't really know. I know that he lost opportunities last year. I know that he was target practice early in the season for opposing offenses. You know, and after that, am I relying on a guy coming back from an incredible neck injury that didn't have a lot of time spent in the league in the first place? Am I relying on Duke Dawson, who was a Patriot cast-off after just 1 year and played 5 football games with the Broncos and was penalized in all 5 games? So I just don't feel great about the room. I'm not saying that any of those guys can't work out, but I had one listener say to me a couple weeks ago, well, we got this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy. One of those is going to work out. And I just don't think that's a strategy. So if you're telling me Bryce Callahan is healthy, and I'm looking at a healthy Bryce with A.J. Boye, and then maybe Michael Ojemudia, you know, being part of that supporting cast and not truly doing the heavy lifting, I feel so much better about it. But if he's not in there and you go to that shallow cast, it just leaves me uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, it's and every NFL team can look at certain areas where they're uncomfortable. It's just the way it is. I mean, you can't have situations to where you look at your football team and you feel great about the whole thing, I guess, unless you're really Kansas City, which is obviously an outlier. I mean, they've returned pretty much everybody from their Super Bowl team.
Right.
49ers, I don't know their team, what it looks like, but I'm sure there's a couple spots where they're like, hey, we really need this guy to step up. We need that guy to step up because we're a little thin here. So, that's predominantly around the NFL. You're going to have a few positions that you look at and say, hey, we're going to need guys to step up there. And with the Broncos, the cornerback position is right at the top of it. Chris Harris is gone now. You bring in A.J. Boye. What does he look like in this defense? And I think also what we've talked about is when you look at Vic and his scheme and what he's trying to do with the cornerbacks, yes, it's going to be a lot more zone than man-to-man, and that's why they drafted Ojemudia from Iowa, is because that's what he predominantly does. But still, he's a rookie. And then after that, you got a lot of guys that you're hoping that a guy or two steps up and plays well. That's what you're hoping, and you're keeping your fingers crossed on that, and you're keeping your fingers crossed that Bryce Callahan can stay healthy. But certainly question marks there. I think that somebody will step up, and I think Vic will do a good job of helping those guys. And sometimes they're just going to have to man up and go and play man-to-man, right? You can't cover for these guys all the time and put them in situations so where they're just playing zone. I mean, sometimes throughout games, I mean, you have to go, hey, you got this guy.
It's going to be meadow and meadow, yeah.
That's right. I mean, you're going to have to do it, and they're going to have to step up and do a good job of it. So, obviously concerns with the cornerbacks. But I just believe that somebody will step up, and Vic will do a good job of helping those guys out.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. Is that, and you sort of in passing hinted that it could be, but I just want to make sure that we get the conclusive answer. Is it the number one question mark to room on this Broncos team in 2020 for you?
The number one question mark? I mean, let's go through it real quick. Look, the defensive line, I don't have a ton of questions about them. I think they'll be a solid group. Outside linebackers, check. Inside linebackers, I like that group. Todd Davis, A.J. Johnson. Safeties, I mean, we spent, $250 million on our two safeties.
$350 million.
Yeah, three. Sorry, I undershot it there. They should be pretty good, right?
They better be.
Holy cow.
Love that room.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, that's a great group right there with Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson.
The playmaking group, ain't it?
It is. It is. hopefully we get a few more from Justin this year, but certainly Kareem made a ton of them last year.
He really did. He was so fun to watch. I'm just trying to bait you. You know,
I know what you're doing.
Come fall into this hole.
I can't help myself. Okay? I can't help myself. Offensively, let's look at offense. I mean, tight ends. Feel pretty good. Feel better than I have in a while with the tight end group. Wide receivers. I feel better than I have in years with that group. Running backs, hey, feel really good about that 1-2 punch there. Offensive line is the next group for me that you would say you would have question marks about. So it really comes down to two groups that I think you have the most concern with is the cornerback and the offensive line room. And I think probably the cornerback position trumps the O-line this year.
Agreed. Agreed. I agree. And I think that's a good thing. And that's a testament to, you know, what's been added to that room.
The offensive line room.
Yeah, the offensive line group. Graham Glasgow, a healthy Juwan James. I'm really hoping the narrative around Juwan James flips in this town. Because much like Bryce Callahan, people can't stand the guy because he wasn't healthy. But when he is healthy, he's a good football player.
Well, I think you misspoke there. I don't think Bryce Callahan is in the same sentence as Juwan James. As people, you know, not liking him. People don't like Juwan James a lot more than Bryce Callahan. Bryce Callahan was just an afterthought. He didn't get paid a ton of money. So
they gave $21 million, I think, seven
per
year.
Well, but how much was guaranteed?
I think it was 10.
Right. Juwan James, how much is he making?
Yeah, it was like 36 guaranteed or
right.
something.
Right. Well, I think, and also, cornerback position last year wasn't a big deal. Our offensive line has been a huge deal now forever, it seems like. And we were expecting Juwan James to come in here. We paid you a ton of money. So Broncos country, the spotlight was more on Juwan James to start with, right, over Bryce Callahan. And so I feel that Broncos country has a lot more bitter feelings about Juwan James and Bryce Callahan just because of how it went. We know Bryce Callahan tried to fight through stuff, and it was unlucky, unfortunate what happened to him getting his foot stepped on. He still tried to come back and play, and it just didn't happen. And I think Broncos country gives him a pass for that. With Juwan James, they look at it as like, man, you packing it in, dude? You packing it in here? And then Vic says what he says.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, man, you got paid, and now you're packing it in. That's the perception there. So I think they look at him and with a lot more disdain.
Look at you.
Look at me. Oh, I think you said that about a month ago. I put it in my back pocket. I said I'm going to get that disdain in there.
Look
with
at
a
you.
Lot more disdain than they do Bryce Callahan because of those reasons.
And I think maybe more of all those reasons, Vic didn't help that guy,
no.
man. Vic did not help that guy. And,
no.
You know, and that's a totally different discussion. But,
right.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right.
Okay.
I think the narrative is a little bit more personal with Juwan. I mean, when you question a guy's heart, when you question a guy's emotional state, I mean, is there anything more backhanded? I mean, think about you and your career, right? You had just a storybook type of career. I don't know how you played 15 years, but you did. A decade and a half you were in that league. A portion of it was spent hurt and rehabbing and
yeah.
trying to come back. I remember you said to me, just how offended you were, and rightfully so, when a reporter asks you, when you signed to the Indianapolis Colts, I believe, if you felt guilty about stealing money or taking money from the Colts.
Yeah, well, what it was is my first year there, I signed there, and I was dealing with the foot injury that we talked about earlier, my Liz Frank surgery, and it just was not getting healthy no matter what I did. And it was every morning I'd wake up and I couldn't even hardly walk on my foot. And it was just miserable. And obviously, if you can't do that, you're not going to be able to go out there and run routes. And so, yes, the reporter asked me, he's like, do you feel like you're stealing? And it pissed me off. It really did, because I was doing everything in my power to get out on the football field, everything I could. But certainly, no, I didn't like that at all.
And how could you? And it's a super rude question,
right.
First of all. And I don't know if you know the guy's name to call him out.
I let him off the hook.
Let him off the hook. Well, look, could you imagine, and you had every right to be pissed off because it's an unfair question, and you, fortunately for you, were able to come back and be a 1,000-yard receiver, 10-touchdown guy for the Indianapolis Colts. But could you imagine in that state when you are a little bit fragile because you are new to a team and you do want to perform at your very highest level and you are physically incapable of it and you are challenged by not some goofy dude with a recorder. You are challenged by Tony Dungy, who says you got to wait until Brandon Stokely is emotionally and physically ready to play football again. You would probably feel like you got punched in the stomach.
Yeah.
And I just think it was, look, I am a fan of Vic Fangio. I hope he has a lot of success here, and I hope Juwan, everything works out. But I just still, to this day, do not think that was fair for him to say into a microphone.
Well, and I'll say this, you know, about that. I think Vic was just fed up. I think Vic is very, you know, he's a smart coach, and he knows what he's saying. And I think he sat on this for a while. And I don't think it was the first time. I think there's a lot of things behind the scenes that we didn't hear about or read about. And they just felt like, and Vic and those guys and offensive line coaches, they probably felt like he should be playing. He's healthy. He's ready to go. We've invested a lot of money. And these coaches get, you know, upset and aggravated. And they're fighting for their jobs. They're looking at this guy and like, hey, buddy, let's go. We need you. And he's just not responding to it at all. And so I think it was just he was at his wit's end.
Yeah.
And he just finally just said it. You know, he's like, forget it. What else can we do in this situation? If he's not going to play, I'm going to call his butt out for not playing. And that's what he did. And so, no, as a player, that's the last thing that you want your coach to do. But sometimes coaches have to do things and to try to light a fire under you. But like you said, I'm with you. That started this conversation. I'm with you. I hope Juwan James can change the narrative around him this year from Broncos country. I really do, because he's a really good football player when he's got his mind right and when he's healthy. And hopefully that's the case this year, and hopefully the narrative around him changes, because certainly there's one out there.
There is.
Fair, not fair, I don't know, but it's out there, and it's up to him to try to change it this year.
Yeah, and don't forget, when Juwan James came back and played the half, because he got hurt, and then he tried to come back and got hurt again. But I believe he came back for a third time. He did. And it was near the end of the season. It was week 14, and he played in the first half of that football game. And coincidentally, or not, it was the most productive half of football that the Broncos offense played all year. It was the first half against the Houston Texans.
Wow, that's right.
So, look, you go back and watch that film, and Juwan James looks the part of a guy that would sign, you know, a $50 million contract or whatever it was.
We 54. Watched it.
We did. We
yeah,
did.
I mean, you know, when we're breaking down certain guys, we saw him, and you look at his athleticism. I mean, I remember the highlights for me was that guy can move. He can get to the second level. He's a very athletic right tackle that moves really well. And going back to that Houston game, it had me scratching my head, because there was never an instance in that game where you saw something happen to him and him, like, hobble off the field or him get carted off the field or anything like that. Next thing you know, he was just done. Right?
Yep. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. He just didn't come back out. It was like, wait, what happened there? I don't know if it was after halftime or what it was, but, you know, he was playing well, looked great, looked healthy, and then poof. Gone. Done.
Yeah.
It was like, wow, that was weird, because he looks really good. I don't know what happened along the way, and I guarantee you that's where the frustration was with Vic Fangio. They're looking at it like, man, come on, buddy, let's go. You know, you got to play through a little bit of discomfort in the NFL. You have to play through some discomfort. You're not going to always feel 100%. Sometimes you're not going to even feel 75%. But you know what? You go out there and you play and you lay it on the line. And those coaches were – Vic was fed up, and they were fed up, and that's why he said what he said, which, you know, we'll see what it looks like this year for Juwan, but certainly they need him. And hopefully, like you said, the narrative around him changes.
Yep. And if it doesn't, he'll be gone.
Yeah.
You know, that it's that simple. If it doesn't, he'll be gone. And same for Bryce. And don't forget, by the way, they restructured Bryce Callahan's contract.
Oh, they did?
They did. That was about, oh, man, when was that? I want to say like 3 months ago, sometime in March, that they agreed to a restructure
That's right.
He's now scheduled to earn $5 million in 2020. He can make another $2 million in incentives. But what that did is it freed up nearly $2 million in cap space. So Bryce Callahan knew where he was at with the organization, agreed to the restructure and the pay cut. Now, I don't even know how much of a choice he had in that matter.
I think he had some guaranteed and some not guaranteed. And so they looked at it and said, well, that money you got guaranteed, okay, we'll keep that in there. And the rest of it, we'll make it incentivized.
Yep. All right.
So it was a good move by him, good move by the Broncos. He didn't play last year. Now he's got a chance to stay healthy and go make that money back, and he's still going to make a good chunk of change regardless. So I think it's a win-win both sides there.
How about this? I have a proposition for you. Uh-oh. You and our listeners, all right? So I want to open this up to the RamosLaw.com text line when we come back. I am going to give you two propositions as it pertains to Bryce Callahan and Juwan James. Would you sign the agreed amount, or would you roll the dice? Okay, hang tight. We'll bounce it off you next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.